Good morning, everybody. This is Lizzie and Justin from Third Space, and we are here live again on a Sunday morning for another week of our Turning Towards Life conversation, and you are all so welcome. So whether you're joining us live in our Facebook group or on a podcast or on our turningtowards.life website or on YouTube or any of the ways that you can join us both now and maybe far off into the future, because we know that not everybody listens to these by any means in the week that they come out. You are so, so welcome to be here. And Lizzie, thank you so much for being so steadfast and faithful and excellent in being a partner in this and in bringing wonderful, wonderful sources for us to dive into.
Thanks, Justin. So we're going to do what we normally do. We're going to read this poem. Each of us is going to read it, Justin, and see where we go. And as per the poem, I feel like this is one of the things that is intentional about us being here, is that we do our best to not have any agenda other than to be together and to see what happens. So here we go. This is called No Agenda by the amazing Polly Caster. No agenda. Don't do more. Hide less. Transparency is forthright, but goes with the flow. Embrace change and allow it to be different than you thought. Surprise, you will not be painting outside this afternoon. Stop outlining. Progress pirouettes and pivots on a dime, supple and agile, not just ploddingly focused forward. Let the rain pour down on your plans. Relax into the poetry of dry earth quenching its thirst. Be unabashed, unhurried, able to simply listen with no agenda. Be meanderingly happy, content if the story takes a detour or diverges the long way round. Only good can go on, so there's no reason to be impatient with passivity. Just savor each morsel of life as it comes. Know, feel, and embrace the expanse and serve better by erasing obstruction and artifice. Shine your unselfed better self with equanimity and bolster others with your derived strength and clarity. Remove every hurt or deception with your minuscule grain of mustard seed faith, moving mountainous impediments by sending them slinking off, tail between their legs, ashamed. All while sitting in this rocking chair, watching the water gushing in rivulets, drumming out a palliative cadence, soothing and serenading every heart here, with rounds in three-part harmony, in a repeating refrain full of friendship, restitution, and joy.
Thank you, Lizzie. So I'm going to read it to you. With great thanks to Polly for being this kind of poet. And just to say to all of us who are here, you can always find these sources that we begin. The best archive of them is our turningtowards.life website, which has every single one, 260 something of them. And in our Facebook group and in the notes for YouTube and podcast episodes and all of that. And this is No Agenda by Polly Caster. Don't do more, hide less. Transparency is forthright, but goes with the flow. Embrace change and allow it to be different than you thought. Surprise, you will not be painting outside this afternoon. Stop outlining. Progress, pirouettes and pivots on a dime, supple and agile, not just ploddingly focused forward. Let the rain pour down on your plans. Relax into the poetry of dry earth quenching its thirst. Be unabashed, unhurried, able to simply listen with no agenda. Be meanderingly happy, content if the story takes a detour, content if the story takes a detour or diverges the long way round. Only good can go on, so there's no reason to be impatient with passivity. Just savor each morsel of life as it comes. Know, feel, and embrace the expanse and serve better by erasing obstruction and artifice. Shine your unselfed better self with equanimity and bolster others with your derived strength and clarity. Remove every hurt or deception with your minuscule grain of mustard seed faith, moving mountainous impediments by sending them slinking off, tail between their legs, ashamed, all while sitting in this rocking chair, watching the water gushing in rivulets, drumming out a palliative cadence, soothing and serenading every heart here with rounds in three-part harmony in a repeating refrain full of friendship, restitution, and joy.
Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Polly. There's so much in here. Like we always say, we are choosing the thread to follow. And this is really difficult to choose a thread because they all feel so beautiful. One of the lines, Justin, there's lots of them. One of the lines for me is this beautiful conversation about what I see as what we do with our own power. When Polly says, shine your unselfed better self with equanimity and bolster others with your derived strength and clarity. I feel like that's one of the biggest gifts I feel in my life, is that I have enough unselfed better self, to use Polly's words, that enables me to derive strength and clarity. And then what to do with that is to be with others in a way that has them shine a bit more brightly. And, you know, Justin, we've been in this conversation about power, when we have any kind of power, whether it's parental power or positional power in our roles or power to do something at all, I feel like it's that power, if it comes from this place of this unselfed better self, which I see as kind of a presence and a clarity within one's own system, like a strength within one's own system, what we do with that is really quite something. And of course, it's a chain of events that happens. So when someone feels bolstered, to use Polly's words, by another, they then have that derived strength and clarity to bolster another, and then they then have the derived strength and clarity to bolster another. So I'm feeling really faithful to this that we can be for one another. And of course, there's times where I'm completely unpowerful too, and where somebody more powerful in this sense helps me to refind and rediscover my strength and clarity. So it's all swings and roundabouts, really. And it seems that that being a narrative for how to live and how to be with one another, and for it to be in this poem, kind of sandwiched between this kind of grace, what I experience as a kind of grace and a peace and an allowing and a flow and joining in with life, whether it's the rivulets gushing down or this embracing of an expanse or allowing the future to be different than you thought, all of that, the kind of letting go and allowing, seems also to go with this notion of what to do with ourselves when we feel clarity and we feel strength, when we have that kind of power, or what we might do with it. So I feel really lucky to be in receipt in this moment of Polly's own position of power. I feel like she's sitting on her veranda in this state where these words have come, and that we're being led and fed and held in this possibility by the way she's saying all of this.
A wonderful, wonderful place to begin, Lizzie. I was having the same trouble, I think, that you said, which is there's so much in this. Like, where to start even talking about it? So I'm very gladly following your lead and just starting right where you are. And I, what was coming to me more and more strongly as you were speaking was, I suppose in one way you could say there are two different narratives about what it is to be a human in our lives. I mean, there are many more than two, but the two that I was thinking that sort of come together are, is our role to dominate things or to participate in things? And sometimes can be either, so that there are places where both are called for, but this call in your speaking and in Polly's writing to be participants in our own lives rather than always be on the stand of having to dominate our lives, which of course involves trying to dominate ourselves and dominate other people, whether we know ourselves as powerful or not. That story that that's what we ought to be doing is so strong for many of us in our culture. It's what we've been taught again and again and again that a decent human life is the ability to dominate. So to be invited instead, so feels so beautiful to say it, to shine our unselfed better selves with equanimity and bolster others with our strength and clarity. In other words, to let the life that we are flow through us and into others, rather than trying to have others be a particular way or ourselves be a particular way or life be a particular way, seems to me such a gift. And you're so right about you, about being someone with a vast life-giving reservoir of unselfed better self that you bring to other people. So I know what that's like to be in your presence and to receive that. And it's in some ways so much more powerful than anyone who tries to get things done by forcing or grasping or and as you said, I suppose that's the I think you said this, or I might have imagined you saying this, that the if I think about the orientation of this very conversation and the practice that we're in together and many others are in with us by this speaking and listening, that this is a practice in letting our unselfed better selves through and seeing what happens from it. I was deeply moved by the first line of this poem, which I think is a poem in and of itself. Don't do more, comma, hide less. Which is the precise opposite of what many of us feel like we have to do. Do more, hide more. It's such a relief to be able to hide less and to find, I know in myself, more of my own generosity and love and pain and longing flowing through. And it's such a relief not to always be caught in the sense of there's something I should be doing that isn't this. And our lives are so brief. So I can really feel how much it matters that we get this.
Yeah, I have to say, when I read this, that was the line that was like, well, whatever comes after this, I'm down with. I like it. Because somehow those two little sentences next to one another seem not to have anything to do with one another on one level, and then they have everything to do with one another as well. Mm. So it can look like doing things is not hiding. But of course, there's all kinds of ways that we do things that leave us completely hidden. But that it doesn't seem obvious to me until I read that line. I was like, oh, yes, I can see that doing isn't necessarily showing up. Doing isn't necessarily being in the world in the way that has my unself, better self, liberated and flowing, as you were saying. But I could do a little bit more of less hiding. You know, could do with a little bit more of that kind of risky transparency, which, by the way, entirely depends on the kind of faith for me that Polly's talking about further down, the mustard seed, I think she said. Yeah, the grain of mustard seed faith, which seems to be all that's necessary, is that teeny tiny piece of faith that would have me show up and do something in a way that has me show up rather than do something that has me be invisible or hide something that I would otherwise have to give. And so I feel like I'm also in this dance in this poem between, like, knowing that faith exists in me, but also admitting how much faith this poem gives me, which also shows me how little faith exists in me. Because whenever I encounter somebody speaking of faith, like this definition of progress, that it pirouettes and pivots on a dime, supple and agile, doesn't just focus forward, plod, plod, plod. That brings faith to me. I think, oh yes, like what? Even if I think we're not making progress, how do I know that? You know, how do I know that things aren't deepening? How do I know that things aren't moving? How do I know that there's all kinds of things going on in this world other than the disasters that we're all seeing at the moment? There's all kinds of things that could be happening. And to allow things to be different than I thought. And that I could be meanderingly happy. You know, to meander is to wander in a wonky old path. So I feel like there's so many beautiful kind of pieces threaded through here, and faith being seems to be very central in this. So I don't know Polly personally, but I imagine being friends with her, or her being your mother, is like kind of bathing in the arms of a faithful one that brings you hope and stability in times that feel really impossible. And my goodness, how much that is her derived strength and clarity bolstering me. So I just feel very led and held and enfaithened. Mm-hmm. These words keep being made, don't they, in these conversations. I feel enfaithened by Polly and really happy to be, I don't know if it's in the wake of her words or like held up by her words. Held up meaning like I feel like I'm in a bowl of gentle heldness that is these words, that is a state of kind of grace and hope and bolsteredness and faithfulness.
We've spoken many times before here in this conversation about hope itself and faith of this kind that you're talking about, Lizzie, and how it calls on us to surrender in a way to the radical unknowing of how anything will be, how anything will turn out, but commit ourselves very deeply to the question of what kind of person do I want to be in the midst of it? Mm. Who do I want to be in the midst of a world that I can't control, can contribute to for sure? I noticed that Polly doesn't say don't do anything. There's lots to do. Mm. But I'm really struck as you're talking about being in faith, and that our minuscule grain of mustard seed faith in a way, grows from the sense of possibility of what people can be, how we can be to ourselves and to one another in the midst of a world that, not just progress, the world that pirouettes and pivots on a dime. It's what the world does. So our capacity to shine our unselfed better selves with equanimity in the midst of everything seems to me exactly as you've been saying, in one way or another, exactly what it is that allows us to let our own gifts and our own aliveness shine forth as a gift to other people. You know, I've been thinking, as you've been talking about, what else does this faith require? What is it to be faithful in that way? And one is to be faithful to the, as I'm saying, to the goodness and capacity and the vastness and depth of humans, starting with ourselves. But we also have to trust that we are simply called to be in the midst of life. That's what we're here for. There's a sort of a bigger scale of faith, which Polly articulates so fiercely, actually, here in so many ways, when she says, embrace change and allow it to be different than you thought. That's what life is doing all the time. Life is unfolding itself in ways that are different to what we thought. And all of our efforts to have what we long for to come about, which are well placed and important, always take place in a context that's way, way bigger than us, and way older and way vaster and way, I don't have the right adjectives for it. The alternative to that is having no faith and trying to be God. Like, I'm going to have to be the one who makes sure the world is exactly the way I want it and never deviates from my plan. And that's why I'll hide more and bury myself in things. And that's why I'll try and grip really hard to things. And that's why I'll try to serve. And I love this line, by making obstruction an artifice, by making things that are, or being ways that are, sort of cover up for what's really here. And of course we do all of that when we can't stand on anything. Of course we do. We try to be the one who's got all the power. And that is also which leads to us in many ways getting stuck, or dominating one another, or dominating ourselves in ways that prevent us from bringing ourselves forward. So I hear this in the way that you're talking about faith, and in Polly's words, that I suppose one very shallow way of reading these words is just to take the third line of Polly's and say, we'll go with the flow. But that's not what this is. It is and it isn't. What this is I'm just picking up on something at the end of Polly's poem. Can we be friends with life? So what's being asked of us?
Yeah. You were talking, Justin, I was just feeling into what it would be if I were to accept that progress pirouettes and pivots, and that change is going to be different to I thought, however I think it's going to be different to that. And I could be content if the story takes a detour. If I had faith in that, if I took that just to be true, how would that change my way of being now in my life? Because I notice how much thought goes into kind of fixing the future and seeing it in a certain way and playing it out in a certain way. And I wonder what would be freed up if I allowed that faith to kind of infiltrate me in this moment. What kind of impact would that have on my futurizing and my fantasizing and my catastrophizing? And my goodness, I'm so talented at actually being in the future. I'm not even here. I'm somewhere different. And I've learned over the years that when I do that, it's like an alarm bell, like, oh my gosh, I need to come home, because that does not actually do anything other than make me bonkers and create grand discomfort and kind of imagine trauma and all kinds of things, which is traumatic in itself. It's like having a dream that you really think is real, and then you realize, actually, no, I'm making that. I need to just come back and stop it now. But letting that letting this faithfulness in now feels like it has the power to kind of, you know, give me something back. You know, all of the probably hours, days that are strangely wasted because I'm not even here, because I'm fantasizing about the future, or I'm trying to fix something down or pin it down or do something by making my thoughts think something into being, which has value in lots of ways, but lots of ways I do it is pretty destructive. You know, it's like it's a quite a controlling, I can sense in myself, it's quite a controlling thing to try and make the future into the thing that I need it to be or want it to be, and then try and organize everything in line with the thought that I had. It's quite a lot of energy goes into that. So as I allow this to be here now and to feel into this meanderingness of like, well, if the meander is true, if the pivoting is true, if I can be unhurried, then it seems like I might reclaim something. I can feel the reclamation of life, that I might not have to invest so much in fixing things down. Because if I just took it as true that it was going to be whatever it was going to be that was very different to my picture, probably better, probably way better than my very narrow, fearful mind could create. Something way better is probably going to come. It's got more color in it, more fruit in it, more life in it than I could even imagine. That seems to allow me to look upon what's here right now and receive it with much more possibility and I'm looking around, I've got very ordinary domestic little desk here, but as I look at things, they seem more bright, they seem more that I could appreciate them more, but I'm aware of things already a little bit more as to what they are and what they mean, rather than just things taken for granted.
I was feeling whilst you were speaking, Lizzie, how radical being unhurried is. Really is. Many of us live in a world that is built on hurry and hurry to get to an imagined future, exactly the pattern you're talking about. For sure, you're not the only one. I'm recognizing all of that in myself, all of this inner thinking and worry that can come up, parts of me that are trying to keep me very, very safe by predicting the future, and then somehow, I don't know, I do know, trying to like grab hold of the future and make it a particular way, just all in my thinking, so I'm not here. I think that that's the state for many of us, of the world that we've been handed, and it's really fed. It's fed by so many things. It's fed by news media, and it's fed by lots in our education system, and it's fed by social media, and it's fed by a story that to be human is always to be in a hurry to be somewhere other than where we are. And it's really hard to be unhurried when everyone else is hurrying. Because the moment that we choose to be unabashed and unhurried and to listen with no agenda, we're stepping out of the flow of expectation and story about what it is even to be a person in this age. I was so moved by what you said, that as you just now, as you unhurry yourself here, sitting at your, talking to me, sitting at your desk, things come forward with more meaning. And I think maybe one of the things that's so hard about this, that the way that the story of our times, the bits sort of bigger meta narratives of our times point against this, is they tell us not to be faithful. They tell us to always to be in a hurry and always to try and to be in control and to dominate, and that's what there is in human life. But they also tell us that nothing really has any meaning. So if what's already around me doesn't have any meaning, what choice do I have but to try and grasp and clutch and gather and dominate, and because there's nothing else to stand on at all. But it actually doesn't take very much unhurrying, if we're willing to bear it, to find out that very simple things like being together and listening to one another, or just seeing the whatever it is that's on the desk, already is full of meaning and depth. And maybe that's where our minuscule grain of mustard seed faith gets born, is in a kind of faithfulness of trying to think of the right word, I'll just say that the deep, meaningful presence of everything.
Yeah, that's the deep, meaningful presence of everything feels really appropriate for how I'm feeling right now. And I've, funnily enough, just these little stones. I've got these two little stones on my desk, Justin. One says joy and one says love. And we painted them on the beach one day when we were sitting together, two little white stones with some shiny pen that we found. And they've been sitting there for ages. I'm not sure how much I've looked at them until this moment. I mean, when they were new, it was different. But like, anyway, there's 100 little funny things around here just like that, that mean a lot, but it takes unhurriedness to remember and to notice. Oh, thank you Polly, if you are listening ever by miracleness, Polly, thank you for being the person that you are, that these words pour out of you and that you share them with the world. And thank you, Justin, for meandering through this together with me. And thank you for everybody being here with us, meandering along with us in this long, long journey. It's very wonderful. And we're going to be back next week, next Sunday, as usual, at 9 a.m. UK time. So thank you, everybody, for being here.
Thanks, everyone.